from gimme to grow me. And this text and this topic came out of my study in this chapter 6. And I believe it will certainly, you'll see the point to the message. You know, there are many messages in this text, in this chapter. Many, many messages and stories. But there's one theme I found in the whole of this chapter. And we'll just kind of go through it. We'll lift out scripture to save time. But I believe at the end you'll see a very key point in how we walk with Jesus Christ. All right, John chapter 6, verse 1. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Verse 6. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Amen. Again, the bread of life, from gimme to grow me. Now, gimme, you know, is a term we use. It means is give me. We just say gimme, okay? So give me or gimme to grow me. Now, verse 6 says that Jesus tested Philip with the question, where shall we buy bread that all these folk may eat? And he said he tested him, but he himself knew what he would do. Now, we know the story that Jesus took the fish, the few fish and loaves, and blessed it and fed thousands of people with that small provision. So we think in our minds, what he knew he would do was he would take a few fish and a few loaves and feed a bunch of people. But there's more to what Jesus was thinking. Because the story really isn't just the 5,000 he fed. It isn't only the disciples learned of Christ's greater power. It's not just that we found out that God, through Christ, can do amazing things. But Jesus knew what he would do, not just on that day, but the day after. So let's go together and we'll learn together. So the story of the 5,000 or the thousands being fed follows there from verse 7. Let's pick up now from verse 15. It was all said and done. They were fed. They got the fragments all gathered up. And it says, verse 15, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when I say here, gimme to grow me, the orientation of the people's mind was, what can God, what can Christ, what can y'all do for me? Give me, give me, gimme. And so even after Jesus fed the people and surprised his own disciples with his power, he said he perceived they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. So the people, even Christ's disciples, thought that Jesus came to rule and be the king. But they missed the very important point we always tell you. The Bible always talks about two comings of Christ. The first coming and the second coming. The first, he will come to be the Lamb of God, to be sacrificed, to be a Savior. But he will come back the second time to reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But the people in that day, they only focused on Jesus as the Messiah, as the King. They missed the part about him coming to be an offering and a sacrifice. Because who wants their king to be killed? Who wants their king to not dominate everybody? Amen? So the people, Jesus sensed after this miracle, especially the miracle of feeding everybody, they thought, oh my God, he's the one, he's the one. And he sensed they were going to come and take him and make him king. So he says he departed again to a mountain by himself alone. He got away from the people because they were trying to come. They were saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. We need a king. We want somebody to rule over us, not just our Caesar and our Roman government. We want you, Jesus. But he didn't come for that purpose, not at that time. Now, verse 16. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got in a boat, went over the sea to Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. But he said, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. So then Jesus was by himself. The plan was the team would go over to the other side for the next outreach, if you will. But because Christ had hid himself, when the time came for disciples to leave, he wasn't with them. So he left without him. They left, they rowed their boat about three or four miles, you know, and then all of a sudden here comes Jesus. Now, a different gospel says he would have walked right by them. So they was rolling and he was strolling on the water now. You know, he's striding, you know, striding. And so that they saw him, they first thought it was a ghost and were afraid. He said, "No, don't be afraid." All right, so he got in the boat and they finished the trip, went across to the other side. Now again, it said in verse 6 that he himself knew what he would do. Jesus always knows what he's doing. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he's doing with our lives. In the circumstances of our lives, he knows what he is doing. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread. So the next day, folk came back over there. They came back to the same spot where they got fed. Yeah, they came back. They came back. Because, you know, that was some good fish and good bread. I always tell you. It may have been stale fish. It may have been stale bread and fishy fish when they received it. But when he blessed it, that fish became good fish. It became delicious fish. It became good bread. Those folk came back. They came back to that spot on that side of the lake, because they were saying, give me more of that good bread. Give me more of that good fish. Well, it says this, verse 24. And when the people therefore saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got in the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. We love Jesus. We want to worship God. We love the Lord. He heard my cry. Those folk, they got on boats. I don't know if they rented boats, stole some boats. They found themselves some boats. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. See, folk say they want Jesus. I want Jesus. Why do you want Jesus? Why are you seeking him? And then verse 25 says, and when they found him, that was a whole day. We found him. It said, when they found him, they said, "Rabbi, when did you come over here?" we had some people looking out for you. And you snuck out of here. When did you get over here, Jesus? He answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You didn't come here for me. You didn't come here for God. You didn't come here to serve God, to become better, to become transformed. You didn't come for any other reason than you want more of that fish and loaves. Not because you're hungry. You like to eat. You're not starving. You ate last night. So you came over here because you want some more pleasure. You want some more of this good food. And Jesus said to them, he said to them very, very clearly, he said, verse 27, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So Jesus is now revealing his purpose. We focus on, oh, he fed the 5,000, the 3,000, different times he did these things, and as if God sent him to do that. As if it is his mission to feed people. It's not. His mission is to save people. And feeding people is on the way to saving people. But he also, he said he knew himself what he would do. He knew himself what he would do. He knew that he had to deal with and address the mentality of people that think that God exists just to give them everything they want. You know, my name is Jimmy. I take all you can give me. As if God is some cosmic bellhop and waiter and, you know, celestial Amazon.com. Jesus is loving and generous, but do not mistake, he's very clear about what God told him to do. You came over here not because you want to worship, you want to grow, you want to serve. You came because you ate of that food and you were filled. Now you want some more. And of course, you know, the problem is, I think Pastor Hill said yesterday, you know, if you use carnal to reach people, you got to use carnal to keep people. So if you're going to use carnal, you got to stay carnal. If food is the draw, you better keep bringing more food. If it's a show that they're coming to, then keep giving them a show. At some point, folk have to understand, and sooner rather than later, that this is not about just the food or the show or anything external. It's about relating to Christ the way that God had intended. Now, so watch this. He says this. The folks are saying, gimme. And Christ is saying, you need to grow. You need to grow. And he's making it clear. He says, don't labor for the food that perishes. Now, you've labored. You had to rent a boat. You had to row a boat. You're tired. I mean, you wore yourself out just getting over here to find me. And now you're here, and all you want is some more fish and loaves. Verse 30. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see and believe you? What work will you do? Give me a sign. Give me proof. Give me some. See, they're all about do something for me. You know, give me. He said, then they said, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, and it is written, and he gave them bread from heaven. Gimme. So Israel said, gimme, and God gave them. We're saying, gimme, you give me something. Their whole mindset was, what are you going to give me? Moses did it. The Bible says he did. You should do the same, Jesus. We came all this distance. We're hot and sweaty, tired and hungry again now. We were fine before we left. Now we're hungry again. We really need some more of that fish to show up, some of that good fish. That was some good fish. Imagine, you don't go across the lake for some bad fish. You don't cross the lake in a rowboat for some bad fish and some bad-tasting bread. It wasn't just hunger. It was the taste. It was the experience. But Jesus is saying, verse 32, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It wasn't Moses that gave y'all manna. God did that. The give me mentality is like, well, whatever, Moses, God, just give me something. I'm not paying attention. I don't care about the details. Everybody knows. Jesus knew. The marketing, today, marketing agencies know. I mean, folk are just wired to gimme. The point is, things that are free, free stuff, is enticing. But the mentality is not that the free offer things is wrong. It's just that the mentality of people is wrong to think that everything is supposed to be free all the time. And that you gave me some yesterday, give me some more today, and that's just not the way life works and not how Jesus works. So Moses didn't give you that bread. He said, verse 32 of John 6, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. My Father gives you true bread, nourishment. Nourishment, not just for your body, but nourishment for your soul. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then, but they come back and say, Lord, give us this bread always. Give me. Give me this. Oh, so you got some fish and loaves that like every day that show up. Jesus is waxing eloquent about the bread from heaven and all this. And them folks just can't stop thinking about fish, loaves, food, what it tastes like. All right, give us this bread then. Again, whatever. Jesus was letting them know that if they feel hunger, the hunger they think they feel is not going to be satisfied by food. They've got a need that only Jesus Christ can fill. And so that we see it, you know, unto this day, people have desires to do things, but really what they're doing is they're expressing from the emptiness of their soul. From the emptiness of their lack of experience with God, it's being expressed in other ways. It's amazing what people do when they lack fulfillment. Sometimes when people are depressed or feeling sad, you know, they go to eating, go to the store, start shopping for stuff. See, these are ways that people express emptiness. So the people in the text, when they say, give us this bread always, we want more, even though they were saying what they wanted physically, it was only a symptom of what they lacked spiritually. Jesus, verse 35, said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. They're like, they don't sound like fish and loaves to me. What are you talking about now? I'm telling you, they weren't getting it. It's amazing how sometimes when the Lord is conveying truth in the Bible, words going forth, I mean, sometimes folk don't get what God is saying. They just don't understand. They aren't receiving it. It's just like over their head because they didn't come to learn anything. They came for fish. And so they came across the lake and they found Jesus. And thinking, man, we found him. Get ready. More fish, more loaves. And he's talking all this spiritual talk. Like, what? Bread from heaven. And he said to them, he was the most powerful thing. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Wow. And yet, now we get it. You know, we here today understand what he's saying. All right, verse 41. Now, so then, all that happened. I'm telling you, the folk didn't get it. And by the way, and he did not give them more fish and more loaves either. He didn't break down and say, okay, then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Y'all unhappy. I want you to be happy.
So I'll make you some more. I'll make some fish and loaves for you. You can't have people unhappy now, you know. He left them folk unhappy. He's making it very clear that why God sent him. Okay, all right. Now, verse 41. Then the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now, the Jews, they're mad because he's talking about he's a bread which came from heaven. Talking about, they said, verse 42, is this not Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We know, he grew up around the corner on my street. What are you talking about? What are he talking about? He come down from heaven. You came off of Fifth Avenue. Basically, Jesus, you ain't nothing. We know you, therefore, you are no more than we think you are. Because we know your mother, we know your father, we know your history. You could not be anything. You're just talking, saying words. He sounded crazy to them. So now the people, they mad because they unhappy because they didn't get more fish. And we got to row back over there. They get back in the boat and go back to the other side without fish and loaves. And now the Jews are mad because he said he's the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 49. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which come down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down. I am. Now, he's going heavy. Now, he's going straight there now. I am living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Woo! Now, he's run off the crowd. The crowd's gone. They didn't get their fish and loaves. They gone. So now, he's talking to the Jews, you know. He's dealing with them now. Verse 52, the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So now they're thinking, they're talking about cannibalism. I tell you, the folk are just so full of themselves. Gimme, gimme. You know, they don't have any vision to see something bigger than what they've already seen. They can only see what they've already seen. They can't see anything different or anything newer than what they've already seen. So Jesus could have backed up and said, okay, y'all, listen, y'all, just take it easy now. But he went further. Verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, abides in me and I in him. I mean, couldn't you lighten up a little bit, Jesus? Just give him a little bit of parable or slip in a, you know, something a little bit more obscure. But he's saying, I, my flesh, my blood. And he's doing it on purpose. Because he said in the previous day, he knew himself what he would do. He knew himself what he would do. Not just in the instant when he said it. He always knows what he's going to do. And now here, he is separating out among the Jews those who have ears to hear and those that don't. I mean, it's ludicrous. He would be talking about cannibalism. But if you don't know somebody, you don't know Jesus, then people want to assume the worst. It's kind of evidence, really, that when people criticize something, they don't know what they're criticizing. So these Jews did not know Jesus. Even the religious people, they did not. But here's the kicker, though. It's not just the crowd and the Jews, his own disciples, not the 12, Listen, Christ had many disciples. He had the 12 and then a whole group, a growing group of disciples, of followers, okay? All right, watch this now. So Jesus is going strong on this. And now let's look at verse 57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. As the Father sent me, I live because of the Father. And so when you feed on me, it's because of him. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. He's really trying to get them to see. We're talking about spiritual reality. We're not talking about, it's impossible. Cannibalism is illegal. In Jewish culture, it's immoral. It's impossible. He would be talking about cannibalism. But watch verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard thing. Who can understand it?" So the crowd, they're gone. The Jews, they're gone. Now he got some of his own disciples. They struggling. As long as it was gimme, 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 everybody's happy. When Jesus said, you need to grow up. Now, folks struggling. You got to partake of my life, partake of me. You got to internalize the spiritual reality of my Father. And now folk are like, oh, hold up now. I didn't come here for all. That's like people saying back in the day, you know, people, well, to this day, the army, the armed forces advertise, you know, go join up and see the world. Be all you can be. Everybody got a motto, you know what I'm saying? A few good men, all this kind of stuff. And the commercials are great. I mean, high tech, everything's high tech and all that. But then a war break out. Now, when a war break out, you got to go to war. Like, hold up now. Wait a minute. I got in, forgive me. I got in, give me health insurance, give me a pension, give me education, give me some status. But I didn't get in there for no war now. Well, actually, you did. It actually told you. You weren't paying attention, right? So same thing. So my point is obvious here. Jesus is expecting us and all his disciples to understand that on the front end, you may come in on the benefits of blessings that have been showered upon you. He's not deceiving you either. He told you there's more to it. You're just not paying attention, okay? Now watch this. He said, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Wow. Y'all don't like that? No, he's not trying to soften the thing. He's trying to make them understand, you got to go from gimme to grow me. Here's Revelation, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Some of you disciples. Some of you disciples who do not believe. Isn't that something? How can a person be a disciple and not believe? Because you're a disciple not to grow, you became a disciple for gimme. You signed up for the armed forces. You signed up because you can get more out of the experience. Now, that's part of the deal. You do get a lot out of serving God, amen? But there's more. There is more to this issue than what I can get out of it, all right? Now, watch this. So, same verse, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to the Father, to him by my Father. So even the people who come around for the benefits cannot stay if it isn't in their heart to commit fully and progressively. When I started out, for example, I mean, you know, I went back to school, you know, just went back to school and my second career in college, and I got back in, and, you know, I thought, man, I'm 40 years old, 40-something years old. Hey, shoot, it'd be easy. And it was easy. First couple of years, you know, 100-level classes, you know, I'm like, man, I'm around these kids. And, you know, come on. But then something happened. That third year, they flipped the switch on me like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, whoa. I'm thinking I'm all this in a bag of chips. And I found out, man, I didn't know diddly about what I think I knew about at a certain level. And the courses got hard, and I stepped up and kept going at it and, you know, aced everything. But it required a lot more. And I had one class where I go in there and I'm a, you know, it's a class on web development something. And I've been doing web design. You know, I'm gonna hide that. You know, I'm gonna keep that from them. I ain't gonna tell the professor I do web development. I've been doing it for years. You know, sometimes, let's face it, y'all, when you're in school, you gotta have some easy courses, you know. You got to have an easy course here and there. Now say amen now. Come on. Like economics in the ghetto, you know, remember that course? Ball State. Economics in the ghetto. But at 300 level, 400 level, I did a master's program, we were at 600 level, 700 level. That stuff got harder and harder and harder. And there were no easy courses. There was no economics in the ghetto, 607, 708, you know what I'm saying? So then, why do we think that we're going to live for Jesus and get to a place we can slide and I'm skating now. I've been saved 5, 10, 20 years, man. I'm fixing to slide. I'm going to glide and skate. Oh, my goodness, bless your little heart. Here's the revelation. You ready for this? You ready for this? Are you sure ready for it? You're not ready for it. I'm saying it anyway. To whom much is given, of him much will be required. That's where I am now in my life. I got so much from God. He expects so much from me. And I'm happy to deliver on that. It makes me tired sometimes. I get weary. I get discouraged sometimes. I get frustrated. It don't matter. I'm going to do what God said. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder. But the joy dramatically increases. That makes sense? How can it be harder but more joyful? Well, you'll find out. Best I can say. The sense of joy and fulfillment at doing God's work and helping people, man, it's a marvelous thing. It just gets harder. You know, and so Jesus is saying, you know, okay, you ate fish and loaves, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, not physically, but spiritually. These words, he said, are spirit and they are life. It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That phrase right there summed everything up. Everything he said, he was speaking spiritually. It's the spirit who gives life. The flesh, your understanding of things physically, thinking physically, it profits nothing. He says, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. Now, the folks should have hung around to hear that part. See, they bailed out before they found out why he said what he said, why he talked about eat my flesh, drink my blood. They missed these words. They were offended and walked away before they had a chance to understand. And he said to them, therefore I said to you, again, no one can come to me except it has been granted to him by my Father. Next verse. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Can you imagine that? Folk bailed out on Jesus. They left his church. They left him. They bailed out. Because he began to talk about the true measure of commitment, talking about the real depth of what it means to serve and follow God. Because he clearly said what God expected. But they only came for fish and loaves or some equivalency thereof. We didn't get in for this. We came for gimme. Jesus said, no, I came to grow you. And so then verse 67 says, and he said to his 12. That's why I'm saying he had more than 12 disciples. Then he said to the 12. See, he had the 12, then he had the whole other group of disciples. He said, hey, you want to go away also? Y'all want to go too? Isn't that something? Why would he say that? He's not caring. He cares. But he's like this. We don't have a different revelation of what God said. Whatever, what God said is what God said. We don't tailor his word to the crowd. Not even to the closest ones. Amen? We don't change what God said because it's uncomfortable. What we do is we teach you to understand its spirit and its life. Get your carnal mind out of it. You won't have any problem whatsoever. Carnality, carnal thinking, you know, reasoning, imaginations, all these things mess up our recognition of what God is doing and truly saying. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. They should have known that. So he said, you want to go away also? But Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go, Lord? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And Peter spoke for himself. He spoke perhaps for a few others. You know, but he spoke up. After the crowd went back across the lake and the Jews went off in a huff and the so-called disciples flaked out and his own disciples like, what you mean, Jesus? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? Where can I go? To whom can I go? Where else can I go? I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want gimme. I want to grow. I didn't come for gimme. I did not come for gimme. I came to grow. I came to grow. Say, I came to grow. Yeah.